This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thank you so much for joining me today for an episode that came at the request of you all. A request for me to dive into some details about my vacation to Bermuda, how I made sure that I was feeling amazing every single day, and how I made sure that I didn't feel deprived or like I was missing out or like I was living on the sidelines. I just got back from a week in Bermuda with my boyfriend. I was posting a lot of pictures on my Instagram stories and daily recaps inside the free Primal Potential Facebook group. I'll put a link to that because those posts are still up in there. So if you want to check those out or join the private Facebook group, I will put that in the show notes for today's episode, primalpotential.com/613. And there were so many comments and so many questions and a lot of encouragement to take a deeper dive into my mindset when I'm on vacation and how I make sure that it's not either overindulge or feel like I'm missing out. And I had some unique perspectives that I shared in the Facebook group that people wanted me to dive deeper into. So that is what I am doing today. Before we dive into the episode, I want to take a minute to shout out today's show sponsor, and that is Fabletics. I don't know if you are familiar with Kate Hudson, the star of the wonderful movie. I'm not a big movie person, but I love the movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. It's just funny. It's cute. I don't find it corny, and I think Kate Hudson is really, really beautiful. Anyway, Kate Hudson of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days started this activewear company, Fabletics. And she's done us all a few huge favors by launching this activewear company where the clothes are super cute, adorable. You can wear them to the grocery store. You could wear them out to lunch. And they're functional. They're going to hold up whether you're doing CrossFit or you're doing yoga or you're walking your dog or working in the yard. And my favorite part, they're super affordable. All of the bras and tank tops that I traveled with to Bermuda were from Fabletics. I'm totally obsessed. The fit and the quality absolutely rivals the big dogs out there, the Athletas, the Lululemons, Nikes, but the prices are fractional compared to some of those bigger brands out there, those more well-known brands. And the other cool thing is that they make their recommendations based on your style preferences. So if you want full-length leggings and you aren't interested in shorts or capris, then when you set up your style profile, you indicate that, and they're not going to be trying to sell you shorts or capris if you only do full length. Same thing. If you only buy activewear that has sleeves, you set that up in your style preferences, and they are not recommending to you or serving up in your view sleeveless shirts. If you have not yet made your first purchase from Fabletics, you really can't lose. When you go to fabletics.com/primalpotential, fabletics.com/primalpotential, you get two pairs of leggings of your choice for $24.99, which is seriously crazy. And I've also done a couple of blog posts on some of my favorite things from Fabletics, so I'll link that up in the show notes, primalpotential.com/613. And as I always say, even if you're not into activewear or you don't wear leggings, you can't beat getting two pairs for $24.99 for somebody in your life, daughter, sister, cousin, friend, neighbor, coworker, for $24.99, right? So check out fabletics.com/primalpotential, and big thank you to them for not only doing great work and making it super affordable and cute and functional, but also, of course, for supporting the Primal Potential Podcast. All right. Not only are we talking about vacation today, right, because I just got back from Bermuda, but these strategies apply to any time off, any travel, whether it's a business trip, a weekend away, a big long vacation, but also summertime when the kids are out of school or a random Tuesday night out to dinner. These are strategies that you can use anytime, all the time. And it's been a big shift in my own life because I used to get so stressed about travel, about anything that was out of my routine. So whether that was family coming to visit or me going away, it caused a lot of angst because I really saw it from this black and white perspective that either I was super on point, super disciplined, and feeling like I was missing out and not really enjoying myself fully, or it was no holds barred, it's vacation, I'll deal with it later, eat everything that's not nailed down, and then feel kind of crappy. Feel low energy while I was doing that, and then come back feeling like I created this choice debt that I had to repay. It wasn't good, right? The reason that I want to emphasize this perspective applying to every aspect of your life is because I used to think that the only way I could be successful or on point or quote unquote on plan, which I don't even consider myself having a plan anymore, but I used to think the only way that I could feel that way was when everything was predictable and under my control. When I was at home, I was in my normal routine, I was in control of what food was in the house, all of that kind of stuff. If you feel that way, I get it, I've been there. And what I've learned is it's entirely not true, right? You can be successful anywhere at any time, even when things are totally not in your control. And also, nothing is ever really predictable and totally under your control, ever. And the sooner you own that and embrace that, then you know and can build confidence in the fact that you can create success without struggle anywhere, even if it's at home with your kids over the summer, or it's on vacation, a business trip, or that Tuesday office meeting when they bring in pizza and donuts, you know? I sent out a VIP email a couple weeks ago now, and I shared that I used to go on vacation being like, what the heck? Eat it all. Drink it all. You only live once. It's vacation. Whatever. And while I get that that can sound fun, and I convinced myself it was fun. That was the appeal. I convinced myself that that was what I wanted. What was also true is that that approach wasn't peaceful or joyful. It was stressful. Because I wasn't just indulging with enthusiasm, free from guilt. In fact, there was a lot of unspoken guilt and then physical heaviness and emotional heaviness, but I just felt not good in my skin. I felt lethargic. I felt bloated. I felt weighed down. And those kinds of feelings would diminish my confidence and make me not want to go out and enjoy myself fully beyond food. So if I was just going whole hog with the food side of things, I didn't really want to be active because I just felt bleh. And the vacation became about food and became about alcohol, and it just didn't feel good. But that weight, that sense of heaviness, it wasn't just about my size. It was also about all the drama in my head, the back and forth. Should I? Shouldn't I? Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to cut back so much when I get home. And that drama in my head was exhausting. And I wish that I could tell you that it was just a vacation perspective, that it was just something I struggled with when I was visiting family or out of the country or whatever, but it was all the time. That, oh, well, it's vacation, do whatever, wasn't just a perspective popping up in my mind when I was traveling. It would come up on any random weekend or on somebody's birthday or somebody's wedding, any holiday, a cookout at the beach, a stressful day at work. So it really wasn't about the occasion. It was about the way I was thinking about food, the way I was thinking about indulging, the way I was thinking about things like missing out. The problem was not ever the occasion. The problem wasn't, I have this trip or the kids are home for the summer. The problem was the story about the occasion. And that story went with me anywhere. That story of missing out, of deprivation, of being good versus being bad, of, oh, what the heck, I'll deal with it tomorrow. That story went with me everywhere. That story played through my head at meetings, dinners out, weekends away, business trip, birthdays, vacation, random Tuesdays in July. But the reality is that struggle is optional, and creating success without struggle is available to you. But we have to be open to the possibility of it. Success without struggle is available to you, but you have to be open to the possibility of it. There's a really great quote from Roald Dahl, and it says, "Those who don't believe in magic will never find it." Those who don't believe in magic will never find it. So if you don't believe that you can go on vacation and feel amazing and enjoy food fully and have an amazing time and feel great about your choices, then you're not going to find that reality in your life. You have to fundamentally believe that it is possible for you to experience it. And for as long as you tell this story that it's either you enjoy yourself fully or you sit on the sidelines and you miss out, then you're not going to find that sweet spot, that middle ground. You have to be open to the possibility of success without struggle, which also means you're gonna have to surrender the story of deprivation, that success requires struggle, that it sucks, that you are somehow a burden of the change you're trying to make. That story is optional, and it also doesn't serve you. Those who don't believe they can go on vacation without stress or missing out and feel amazing, then they won't. I had to rewrite this all or nothing story, and I've done a lot of episodes on that. This story was basically, I'm either on point, which meant not indulging, or there are no limits and I eat whatever I want, I deal with it later. And not only on vacation, but also in every other area of my life, I just don't like either one of those extremes. Neither one of those extremes feels good. Because I don't have, and everybody's different. Maybe one of those extremes really does feel good for you, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you what is true for me. My goal is not to never indulge. That's not my goal. Which is part of the reason that I can indulge without guilt or drama, because my goal is not to avoid sugar for the rest of my life. In fact, I love food and I love to eat. And if I see something that looks amazing, I want to enjoy it. That is part of my objective. I want to do it in a way that still makes me feel amazing versus in a way that makes me feel like I overdid it, like I have a sugar hangover, like I need to lay down, like I don't have the energy to live my life the way I want to live my life. Vacation is a great time to rewrite these stories, and I see every single moment that is outside my norm, whether that's out to dinner, on vacation, business trip, as an opportunity to practice. When I went into this trip to Bermuda, I didn't go into it with a set of standards for myself. So I did not go into the trip saying, I'm only going to indulge once, or I'm only going to indulge once per day, or I'm not going to drink at all. I didn't go into the trip saying only one drink per day. And I also don't approach my life that way. I take it day by day, right? I set my standards one day at a time, sometimes one moment at a time. Yesterday, for example, it was my first full day back after the trip. And it was really easy to set the standard of, I'm not going to have alcohol today. I don't want to have sugar today. But in the middle of the week in Bermuda, the standard was different. Hey, if you see something that looks really worth it, go ahead and try it. I don't have a set of rules for myself like every time I see something that looks worth it, I'm going to try it to see if it is, because, you know, on a random Saturday after vacation, I just don't want sugar in my system. I'm going to feel better avoiding it. But on a random Tuesday in Bermuda, when I walk into the bakery and I see this thing called a red velvet cookie, fresh from the bakery, yeah, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to see if it's worth it. So I didn't go into the trip with specific standards for myself, and I don't go into life that way. I take it one day at a time. Sometimes I take it one moment at a time, and that really requires some intentionality. I found that to be a skill that must be built versus how I used to operate, which was just flying by the seat of my pants. The way that I carry forward this intentionality, no matter where I am, business trip, vacation, random Tuesday at home, is my journal, right? I packed my identity journal with me and I began every single day with it. How do I want to feel today? What is the best version of me today? And this is where I think a lot of people get confused. As I said a minute ago, we all have different standards. So best version of you as you define it should and will be different from best version of me as I define it. When I think about the best version of me because of my own standards and what I want for my life, that doesn't mean never indulging, never drinking, always working out, right? Because that's not how I want to live my life. I want to be the kind of person who can enjoy a delicious cocktail and not open up this debate of, oh, well, since I did that, I might as well get nachos. And since I had nachos, I've already screwed up the day. So the best version of me is somebody that says, you know, is it worth it? How do I want to feel today? What is my best today open to the way that indulging, whether we're talking about food or alcohol or relaxation, whether we're talking about disciplines like working out, every day it's going to be a little bit different. And I use my journal to investigate that for the day that I am in. My goal on this trip was very simply, but also very clearly, to feel amazing. That was it. I wanted to feel amazing every single day. Every single day, I was bringing my attention back to, I want to feel amazing. Part of that is I don't want to indulge when it's not worth it. And I don't want to overindulge. It also means indulging when it is worth it in a way that makes me feel amazing. And it's not just about food, right? With the goal of feeling amazing, it means I'm going to get lots of sleep. And I'm going to drink plenty of water. It also means I'm going to have a really great attitude and I'm going to look for ways to have fun versus what I used to do, which was talking myself into staying on the sidelines. I'm going to look for ways to enjoy this fully. That's part of what feeling amazing looks like to me. Instead of psyching myself out, letting lack of confidence come into the picture. It also means choosing not to sweat the small stuff. You know, if the boyfriend leaves his wet bathing suit on the floor, like, okay, I'm not gonna get into a thing about that. When the goal is clear that I want to feel amazing, everything goes through that filter. A big part of feeling amazing for me on this trip meant doing stuff, having experiences, refusing insecurity. And the reason that came up for me, which might be very different for you, should be very different for you, is because I've spent a lot of my life sitting on the sidelines. Maybe that meant not going swimming because I didn't want people to see me in a bathing suit. Or not doing some water sport because I was worried that I wouldn't be able to, you know, perform at the level of expectations or whatever it was. So for me, feeling amazing this time meant looking for opportunities to live fully, to refuse insecurity, not fret about how the backs of my thighs look in a bathing suit, because I am here to feel amazing. Not fretting about what my arms look like without sleeves, because I am here to feel amazing. As I mentioned, shared some detailed recaps in the Facebook group, and they're still there with pictures. So if you want to check them out, I'll put the links in the show notes, primalpotential.com/613. And as I shared these daily recaps, what we did, what we didn't do, what I ate, what I didn't eat, what I drank, you know, activities, all of that kind of stuff, there were a few comments that came in that I wanted to use to structure our conversation today as a way of diving a little bit more deeply into the strategies that allow me to feel amazing and never make me feel like I'm missing out. I shared, for example, one day that breakfast was bacon and eggs and veggies, that I skipped pancakes, even though I love pancakes, and I skipped the muffins and the croissants and the juice and the waffles, because I knew that that stuff would make me feel tired, and I didn't want to feel tired, right? I shared that I saw the red velvet cookie that I mentioned at this bakery. We were walking around a little town and we bopped into this bakery and this beautiful display case of all of this stuff. And everybody knows I love like red velvet cupcakes. And I had never seen, other than, you know, Oreo came out with red velvet Oreos, which I haven't tried, but I saw this beautiful bakery cookie that was red velvet. And my boyfriend said, oh, you know, we have to try that. So yeah, absolutely. We bought it. We walked out onto the street. I broke off a little piece. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't amazing. Like, it was good, but it wasn't great. It wasn't amazing. And it didn't live up to the expectation I had of it in my mind. I'll talk about that a little bit more. But that was kind of the easy decision to not continue, was it's not meeting what I hoped it would be. Right. In my mind, I had this idea that it was going to be, you know, like rich and creamy and flavorful. And while it was good and sweet, it didn't meet that standard. So I just handed it to my boyfriend and I said, I'm done. It's not worth it. And he ate it. Somebody commented on that post where I went through a couple of those examples and said, you are really rocking this week in Bermuda. And here's the point I want to make about that in this perspective. This is the way I want to live anywhere, everywhere, right? This is the practice I have when I'm at home, when I'm out to eat, when I'm on a business trip, when I'm in Bermuda. I don't want to indulge if it's not worth it. A couple months ago, and I think I might have shared this on the podcast, or maybe it was a webinar for my 12-week clients, on May Day, before my boyfriend went to work, I was sharing, we had this May Day tradition in my family where you get flowers and candy and money. So my boyfriend came home later that night with flowers and candy and money. And it was just candy bars and just totally not worth it, right? I've had a bajillion candy bars in my life. If I'm going to indulge, that's not what it's going to be. And it was an easy decision. Or just the day before we left, we went to pick up lobster. Because my mom and her boyfriend were, or not boyfriend, my mom and her husband were coming down to watch the house, and we went to get lobster. And while we were sitting there waiting for the lobster, my boyfriend ordered like a stuffed clam. It's called a quahog. Anyway, and he said, you know, you want to try it? And I took a bite and it was good, but it wasn't amazing. It wasn't super good. And it was easy to say, nah, like I'm good, whatever. And I think I also shared, I shared this on a webinar. I was walking my mom around the property later that day and I was showing her where we have all this mint growing, and I picked one of the mint leaves and I smelled it and I said, oh, that really makes me want a mojito. And I said to my boyfriend, can you make me a mojito? And he did. He handed me the glass. I took a sip and I was like, nope, you can drink it. It didn't live up to the idea that I had in my head of how great a mojito would be. So this is the practice anywhere. And the reason I say that is not to be like, oh, yeah, I've totally got this down. It's to say you can practice this anywhere, everywhere, any day, at any restaurant, at your house, on vacation, when, you know, one of your kiddos offers you the French fry off their plate, whatever it is, it is an opportunity to practice no matter what. I spent so much of my life indulging because it was there, because it looked good, because it sounded good. But when it wasn't as good as it looked or it sounded, I would eat it anyway. And then I would go, that wasn't worth it. So now the practice is building in that pause, and it really is a practice. Is this worth it? Do I love it? Is it living up to the standard I had of it in my mind? And I am always shocked by how few things do, which makes it easy to say no. And that practice is what allows me to indulge when it is worth it, without the drama, without the guilt. Before, when I just ate it because it was there, because everybody else was doing it, because it looked good, because it sounded good, those things were happening so frequently that I wasn't at a place where I could feel really good about the indulgences because they were happening all the freaking time, right? All the time. And the other thing, to go back to the comment, you're really rocking it this week in Bermuda, it wasn't just about food, right? It's about everything. is this the worthwhile way to spend my time? Is this a worthwhile way to spend my emotion, getting irritated about a wet bathing suit on the bathroom floor? No. So this practice of is it worth it? Does it make me feel amazing? Does not just apply to food and to alcohol. So this episode is airing my first Monday back after the trip. And what's worth it at home on a Monday after vacation might look very, very different. Feeling amazing Monday after vacation might look very, very different from the Monday of vacation. There's an ice cream place near where I live that's absolutely worth it, but I'm not driving there today to get it because not having it is going to make me feel more amazing than having it. So just because something is worth it doesn't mean that we incorporate it every single day, because we have to go back to that idea of I want to feel amazing. Is this going to help me feel amazing? And that's why these two perspectives go so well together. It's also about attitude, right? Not indulging in having a crappy attitude about it is not winning, right? Saying no, it's not worth it with an awful attitude is not winning. You are not a victim of this choice. If you convince yourself that you're missing out, that you're deprived, that's not winning. It's about doing it with an attitude of freedom and an attitude of drama-free. I can indulge whenever I want, however I want. It might not make me feel amazing, and that's the goal. I want to feel amazing more than I want to have something in my mouth that tastes amazing, and I can also have both, right? I can also have both. And this goes back to one of the concepts we talked about in episode 604. 604 was the one inspired by the Beyoncé documentary and this idea of having a slay day, a level 10 day, an A-plus day. And allowing flexibility for those standards to be unique every single day, which is what I use my identity journal for. Every day is different. Every day is unique. My standards for what's worth it are going to flex, and that's fine. One of the other comments that I got while I was doing my daily vacation updates in the Facebook group, somebody was saying like, hey, great job, Elizabeth. Vacations are definitely a tempting time to do whatever, whenever. Vacations are definitely a tempting time to do whatever, whenever. I totally know what that individual means. And here's how I've chosen to see that. I'm not tempted to make choices that make me feel crappy. I've had enough experience with that do whatever, whenever, however much to know that it doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel good 10 minutes later. It certainly doesn't make me feel good 10 hours later or 10 days later. So this is all about story and perspective. I am not tempted to make decisions that don't make me feel great. Going back to the pancakes at the breakfast thing. I love pancakes, but I'm not tempted to eat them because I'm not tempted by how they make me feel at all. This idea of temptation comes not from the circumstance, but comes from the story you tell about the circumstance. Temptation is something that you talk yourself into or not. I can talk myself into sleeping in being tempting, right? Oh my gosh, it would just be amazing to not wake up to an alarm and just sleep for hours and hours. Or I can talk myself into waking up super early and slaying the morning and being really productive being tempting. I can talk myself into the pancakes and the orange juice and the chocolate chip muffin being tempting, or I can tell myself a different story that makes it not tempting or appealing at all. It's not the food that is tempting. It's not the alcohol that is tempting. It's not the gossiping or the complaining that is so easy to do and tempting. It's actually entirely neutral, and the idea of what is tempting comes entirely from the story you sell yourself about that thing. The person's comment, vacations are definitely a tempting time to do whatever, whenever. I've lived that. I'm speaking from experience. It's not tempting. It doesn't feel good to eat everything that looks delicious. I can tell myself that story, right? I can go to that place in my mind and say, I just want to let go, to not even think about it, to have whatever I want whenever I want and just not even think about it, to eat just whatever and deal with it later. I can sell myself that story, but I can also tell myself a story that's even more true and doesn't make it tempting by saying, you know what? When I overeat, when I overindulge, drink too much, have too much sugar, I feel like crap. I feel lethargic. I feel less confident. I don't have the energy. I don't really want to be touched or seen. I don't want to do that much. I just kind of want to loaf around until the next meal, and it's never been worth it. Yeah, the food is good, and I can have the experience of it without turning off reason. I can have the experience of it while making great decisions. It's all about the story. This idea of temptation does not come from the thing, it comes from the story you tell yourself about that thing, the story. This is what I consider to be my top priority when I'm working with clients, especially in the 12 weeks to transformation. How else could you choose to see that? What else is true about that thing? Another comment came in on the posts that I was sharing in the Facebook group. Somebody said, I love how the focus is not about food. But it was, like, in a lot of ways. It was also about a lot of other things, fun and connection and time together and romance and all of those things. But it's also about food. I don't want anybody to think that I just turned off, like, loving food or caring about food, because it's not that way. And it's okay if it is that way for you, if you've gotten to a place where your travel is not about food. But I don't want to mislead people and think that's the way it is for me, because it's not. Quite frankly, I love to eat. I look forward to every single mealtime. I get excited about it. I'm always like, oh, what am I going to have for dinner, you know? If you ask my boyfriend, he'll even tell you that if something's really good or I'm really excited about some meal or whatever, I do a little dance, a little shoulder shimmy, as he calls it. So it is about the food for me. And it's fine if it's not for you, but I don't want anybody to think that all of a sudden it's just not about food anymore. It's about food with standards. Standards for myself, standards for how I want to feel, standards for amazing, not standards for missing out, standards for enjoying things more. So it is about the food, and there are standards for that, as opposed to being about the food without standards. And we all get to set our own standards. Some of mine are, is it worth it? Is it amazing? How am I going to feel afterwards? The pancake thing. How am I going to feel afterwards? So freaking tired, like I need a nap. One morning while we were in Bermuda, my boyfriend for breakfast had, he had an omelet, bacon, and he also had potatoes and two glasses of orange juice. I had water, coffee, bacon, and eggs. 30 minutes later, he was asleep. No thanks, I went swimming, right? I don't like that I had a meal and now I need a nap feeling. So that doesn't meet my standards. That's not going to be my yes. Could I have a few bites of pancakes and avoid that feeling and get the experience of pancakes? Yeah, for sure. I just didn't want to, you know? I knew I would feel better having water and coffee and bacon and eggs than I would feel having any amount of pancakes, right? Starting my morning with that starch and sugar, you know? No, no. How am I going to feel after? When I had the ice cream, there was no, blah, that wasn't worth it feeling afterwards. It was just, that was awesome. That's all. So there are standards. Is it worth it? Is it amazing? How am I going to feel afterwards? Totally fine if it's not about the food for you, because food is fuel. It is absolutely fuel for me. And I want to enjoy the heck out of it because I love to eat. And I have standards. This is a bit of a crass analogy, so if you have kiddos in the car, might not be the best time to listen to this. This is one that I often use with clients when we're talking one-on-one, but don't usually share on the podcast, but I think it has some real broad appeal. Sex is good, right? But that's not the end of the story. As much as possible, whenever possible, we have standards for it. I'll speak for myself. I have standards for it. It's not just any sex will do. Sex is great. Let's go crazy. No. And sex is better when there are standards. It's not, ooh, you'll have sex with me? Let's go. I love sex. It's here. It's available. No. The right person at the right time in a way that makes me feel really great about it. Same with food standards. Somebody else commented when I was sharing my daily updates in the private Facebook group, which I will link to in the show notes for today's episode. They said, I love that you don't have this guilt. I shared that I ordered a drink and it wasn't worth it, so I didn't drink. I didn't drink it. I didn't finish it. And this person commented, you know, I love that you don't have this guilt. I ordered it, so I should drink it all. And there are two things at play there. One is guilt. The other is waste. In terms of buying something, the cookie, the drink, and not finishing it, guilt or waste are not about the thing, but again, like temptation, about the story you tell yourself about it. Yeah, you could absolutely tell yourself a story, well, I bought it, so if I don't eat it or drink it, I'm wasting. But there's another story, and the story that I choose to tell myself is that it's a bigger waste and a more detrimental waste to eat it if I don't enjoy it, right? The guilt, the idea of waste, does not come from the thing itself, but from the story you tell yourself about it. What I choose to tell myself is wasteful is eating things that I don't need, that I don't want, that I don't enjoy, that won't make me feel amazing. And guilt, there's just no room for that in my life. I do not believe that food is worthy of guilt. I did. I lived that way for most of my life, feeling guilty over this food choice or that food choice or this amount or that amount or whatever. Murder is worthy of guilt and remorse and shame and all of those things. Food, no. My life will not be reduced to that. There is not enough bandwidth in my life to allow myself to be drained over something like food. Nope. There is enough to feel emotional over in life. Food is just not on that list for me, and that is a practice. Somebody else commented and said, I can't wait for my taste buds to change so I don't desire certain things anymore. And that's a really valid point, and certainly we train our palate, so what we eat most is what our body is going to come to desire. So I certainly had more cravings for sweet and salty and crunchy when I ate more things that were sweet and salty and crunchy and all of that. But I also don't want to imply that I don't desire indulgences. I absolutely do. And I think that we can have those desires and also make choices that make us feel really amazing. It's not either one or the other. And the desire doesn't own us. The desire doesn't make the decisions. So for clarity, I want everybody to know about me. I do love ice cream. I do love margaritas. I do love chips and salsa and nachos and all of those things. And just like going back to the sex example, it's food, but food with standards. It's enjoying it and loving it and wanting it to be amazing and having standards around that. Is it worth it? And when you start to employ that line of questioning, you will quickly see, my clients are always amazed to see how many things are not worth it when you build through practice and repetition the pattern of asking this question, is it worth it? You will be amazed at how few things are worth it. Reflecting back just by memory off what was worth it on my vacation, we went to an ice cream place, totally worth it. I had an after dinner coffee drink. It was just coffee with Frangelico and Bailey's. It was so good and it was absolutely worth it. So it doesn't, and that's actually a really good example. It doesn't have to be some like crazy exotic thing from some special place. I love coffee and you can, you know, sell me on an after dinner coffee drink. I don't have it at home. I don't even have Bailey's or Frangelico at home, right? But that was totally worth it. To a lot of people, that would just be like average and blah, and that's great because a lot of what you might think is worth it might not be worth it to me, and that's okay. But when you build this practice of really seeing if it's worth it, you'll see how many things aren't, and you can still desire sweet things or salty things or alcohol or anything and make great choices. A couple other things I wanted to touch on. One is not related to food at all, but this might be like my biggest moment of pride and excitement and recognition of my own growth that I had on the whole trip. So there was this inflatable jungle gym out in the water. So think of this like multi-piece, very large inflatable trampoline and like big thing with a swing on it. So you could climb on this big inflatable and there was a swing out over the water what else was there? Like these ladder thingies that you could climb up and swing across. There's just all these different things out in the water. It's like a playground in the water, but rafts, inflatable. And I swam out there with my boyfriend and climbed on this thing and got on the swing and jumped on the trampoline and climbed all over it. And I count that as one of my biggest wins because I wasn't thinking about how I looked in my bathing suit. I wasn't wondering if people were like watching me and judging me from the shore. I didn't care. We had a blast. We laughed so hard. We had so much fun. And as we swam up to it, there are these little platforms that you would basically grab a hold of and pull yourself up out of the water using just your arms, right? Because there's nothing to step on. There's not anything underneath the surface to step on. And I remembered years ago, I was probably towards the end of college, and my boyfriend at the time, his family lived on the Chesapeake Bay, and we went out in a jet ski. Now, I wasn't anywhere near my heaviest at this point, but I probably then weighed like maybe 260 pounds, somewhere between 260 and maybe 280 pounds. And I fell off the back of the jet ski. And this is years and years and years ago. I fell off the back of the jet ski, and basically to get back on, I had to grab up and pull myself out of the water with my arms, and there's nothing to step on, and I couldn't. I couldn't do it. And so my boyfriend at the time turned around on the jet ski, and he grabbed the top of my life jacket, and he tried to pull me up, and he couldn't. And I panicked, and there was nothing for me to like step on to get a boost. The only thing that you could possibly step on was like the fuel tank, and I didn't want to step on that and break it off, you know, like that wasn't an option. And it was probably 30 minutes or so of struggling in the water out in the bay, not able to pull myself up out of the water, and I was humiliated. And I knew that it was a function of being overweight and not being strong enough, and it was so embarrassing that my boyfriend couldn't pull me out of the water, that I couldn't even pull myself up out of the water, and I never went on that jet ski again. And it was one of the reasons that I stayed on the sidelines in any different thing. Like, I didn't want to go kayaking because I would think, well, what if I tip over and I can't get myself out of the water back in the boat? And all of these different things that kept me on the sidelines for so long. And I made a decision years ago that I just didn't want to live on the sidelines. I didn't want to miss out on my life or experiences anymore. And I wasn't going to let insecurity cause me to miss out on things. And granted, I've lost a lot of weight since then, and I'm stronger than I was then. But still, sometimes these fears and limitations can hold us back, and I just refused the fear. And I swam out to this jungle gym in the water in Bermuda, and I grabbed a hold of the platform, and I pulled myself out of the water easily. And I climbed up on things, and I jumped up on the swing, and I dove into the water, and I climbed back up on the platform. And in the moment, I was just enjoying myself and having fun and laughing with my boyfriend and just really, you know, appreciating the moment. But afterwards, I was like, you know, thank God that I decided to take one choice at a time. Thank God I tried again after decades of failure. Thank God I didn't give up on myself, and I was willing to not tell myself and accept from myself those same tired excuses, because no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've struggled, that is available to you too. And, you know, whether it was the jungle gym or was the fact that we went kayaking and I wasn't worried about not being able to pull myself back into the boat. We went snorkeling and I wasn't worried about, you know, how I looked walking out in my bathing suit with flippers on or anything like that. We played on that jungle gym. We went swimming every single day. We went diving in the caves. We laid out in our bathing suits, you know, all of that stuff. I wouldn't have let myself do years ago, you know? The last thing that came up in the comments when I was sharing these daily posts in the Facebook group was someone said, pretty soon your boyfriend may learn from your example and only want to consume amazing things as well. And I get that line of thinking, and it's not my perspective. So I wanted to touch on that, because sometimes we are trying to make people change. First, my food standards are not anybody else's. So I'm not saying to him as he eats something, is it really worth it? Is it amazing? As he drinks his second glass of orange juice, I'm not thinking, oh, that's not worth it, and making that assumption for him, or even wanting him to make that for himself. He's had a different journey. I'm cool with his choices. And, like, I can't be anything but cool with his choices. You know what I mean? Because that would just be a really unhappy way to live. The way I think about things is because I needed to change the way I thought about things, you know? And he hasn't had the battles with food or with weight or with alcohol or any of those kinds of things that I've had. So he's got his own set of priorities that don't have anything to do with food, that don't have anything to do with alcohol, that I don't live by, you know? And thank God for it. Thank God for it. So anyway, I hope this was helpful, and I want to remind you guys that these are strategies and ideas that you can practice for yourself, setting your own standards. What's worth it for you, or what are the similar standards that you have, maybe that are different from mine, that you can begin to practice, whether you're at work, whether your kids are home for the summer, you're away for the weekend, you have family in town. Every single choice is a chance to practice. Oh, the other thing that made it, I just saw something on my desk that made me remember to say this. I brought digestive enzymes with me, and I haven't done that on trips in the past. Well, maybe the past couple months I have, but typically, like, if I go out of the country, it's not something I bring. That really helped a lot with, like, not being constipated or bloated, because that, especially when you're talking about, like, bathing suits and stuff, nobody wants to be bloated, and travel can be a big factor in constipation and bloating. So that is one thing that I did that I will definitely do again for sure. Lastly, want to remind you guys that every single Saturday show, we are doing a giveaway. Sarah and I are announcing a winner every single Saturday show, giving away some of our favorite things. You can enter to win either by leaving a rating and review of this podcast in iTunes, or by leaving a rating and review of Chasing Cupcakes on Amazon, or by posting about the Primal Potential podcast and tagging me either on Facebook or on Instagram. The more you do, the more chances you get to win, and we announce a winner every single Saturday. Don't miss that. Registration is opening up for our summer 12 weeks to transformation in just a couple weeks. It's going to be here before we know it. So make sure you are on the wait list if you want to learn more about that. If you're curious about working with me, definitely head to primalpotential.com/transform. primalpotential.com/transform, or just go to the show notes for today's episode, primalpotential.com/613. And you can learn more there. Make it a great day, and I will chat with you soon. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222, or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222, or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.